person of the borders not digging for roots in the shadows. There's no dying of hunger stare in eyes of chief executive officer of petroleum. Somebody else is sinking into spring freeze of the soil. Somebody else is evaporating in dry wind of the fountain.
This is a Building Bridges, your community and labor report special. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
Murder and death threats are the main ingredient of Coca-Cola's labor relations policy at its bottling plants in Colombia, South America. Since 1990, 9 workers have been murdered, 5 have gone into exile, 67 have received death threats, and at least 15 workers have been imprisoned on false charges. In response, the workers' union, Senechinal, mounted an aggressive campaign against the company, including, most recently, the call for an international boycott of Coca-Cola.
Coke retaliated with the closing of 14 of its plants in Colombia. They pressured more than 500 workers into supposedly voluntarily resigning. Most of the union leaders have refused to resign, and the company has now escalated the pressure against them. On February 25th, the Colombian Ministry of Social Protection authorized Coca-Cola's plans to dismiss 91 workers, 70% of whom are union leaders. This is Coca-Cola's efforts to essentially eliminate the union.
We now hear directly about Coca-Cola's brutal anti-union campaign in Colombia from Luis Adolfo Cardona, a Coca-Cola worker and union leader in exile in the U.S. because of attempts on his life in Colombia.
The Supreme Commander of Justice? Is somebody else without weight? Somebody else without blood? Somebody else without land?
Allí en esta región, nosotros montamos nuestro local sindical debido a la discriminación que había en contra de la población y de los mismos trabajadores por parte de Coca-Cola.
We started this union in our bottling plant because of all the discrimination we were facing at the plant.
Allí no podían trabajar los indígenas porque eran indígenas, los negros porque eran negros, y los campesinos porque supuestamente en Colombia los campesinos somos brutos.
At this bottling plant, they wouldn't give jobs to indigenous people because they're indigenous people. They wouldn't give jobs to Afro-Colombians because of discrimination against Afro-Colombians. And they also wouldn't give jobs to people who are from sort of farmer backgrounds, who are campesinos, because they think that they're stupid.
Si el gerente amanecía con el genio cambiado, entonces al primero que se encontraba le decía, tú te vas a tu casa y vienes pasado mañana por la liquidación del tiempo que tienes trabajado con Coca-Cola.
If the company didn't like you for whatever reason, they would give you a pink slip and you'd have to be out of the workplace by the next week.
Después de fundar nuestro sindicato allí, empezamos a sentir la persecución de Coca-Cola en contra de la junta directiva del sindicato.
Immediately after we formed the union, we, the members of the executive committee of the union, began to feel the persecution by Coca-Cola.
Entonces empezaron a aparecer las cartas por debajo de las puertas de nuestras casas en las horas de la noche.
So we began to find slipped under the door of our houses at night.
Donde nos decían tienen 24 horas para que se vayan de la zona, son asesinados.
On these little letters that would be slipped under our door, it said that you have 24 hours to leave this region or we will murder you.
Ya era normal ver el gerente de Coca-Cola tomando licor con los paramilitares, regalándole la gaseosa para que hicieran sus fiestas.
It was also very normal to see the manager of Coca-Cola, you know, sitting at a bar, drinking with the known paramilitaries, and he also would give free sodas to the paramilitaries when they had parties.
Cuando ya estaba borracho, entonces nos decía, ya hablé con los paramilitares y me dijeron que a la hora que yo diga, se acaba el sindicato.
After the manager got a little drunk, he would say openly that, oh, well, I've already talked to these paramilitaries, and just whenever I give the word, they're going to kill these unionists.
En el año 95... y 96 nos asesinaron 5 compañeros del sindicato y trabajadores de Coca-Cola en la zona del Urabá antioqueño.
In 1995 and 1996, 5 union leaders at my bottling plant in Carepa were assassinated.
Formamos la otra nueva junta directiva.
So we created a new executive committee.
El 30 de noviembre depositamos una nueva convención a la compañía.
In November 30th of that year, we began to negotiate our new collective bargaining contract.
Pero recibimos la respuesta de Coca-Cola el 5 de diciembre.
But we received the response of Coca-Cola on December 5th.
Fue el ingreso de los paramilitares a la compañía, el asesinato del compañero Isidro Segundo Gil dentro de la misma embotelladora.
This response by Coca-Cola was the paramilitaries entering into the plant and murdering the leader of the union, Isidro Segundo Gil, inside the plant.
Ese mismo día, a las 2 de la tarde, soy secuestrado por el mismo grupo paramilitar.
So this same day, December 5th, I personally was kidnapped by paramilitaries.
Me obligaron a ir a una heladería, que es un sitio donde se toma gaseosa en Colombia.
They forced me to go to this cafe.
Allí habían 7 paramilitares más.
And there were 7 other paramilitaries sitting there.
Un carro de servicio público.
What did arrive was a taxi.
En este carro lo sacaban a usted del pueblo, lo llevaban a la orilla del río y lo amarraban de los pies y las manos.
And what they generally did, these paramilitaries, is they would put people in these taxis, drive to the edge of town where there was a river, and they would take them on the banks of the river and tie their feet together.
Luego le echaban gasolina de la cintura para abajo y lo incendiaban vivo.
Later they would throw gasoline on the whole bottom part of their body and then set them on fire so that they would be burned alive.
O cogían la famosa motosierra que llamamos en Colombia, que es la con que parten madera, y empezaban a picarlo por pedazos.
The other thing they do is sort of cut them up into pieces as they were still alive.
Yo solo pensaba en una oportunidad para poder salir corriendo y prefería que me mataran a balazos corriendo, pero que no me torturaran.
I realized that I had to make a run for it because I would have preferred to die being shot at on the run versus being tortured.
La menor oportunidad que tuve, salí corriendo y ellos solamente me gritaron este gran hijo de tantas.
The first opportunity I got, I began to run. And, you know, these paramilitaries started screaming like crazy.
Corrí en zigzag por entre la gente como unos 400 metros hasta llegar al comando de la policía.
So I sort of ran in a zigzag pattern until in about 450 meters I arrived at the command station of the police of the town.
La policía me acompañó a mi casa a sacar mi señora y mi niña para que no me la secuestraran, no me la mataran, pero no porque la policía quisiera, sino porque el pueblo estaba viendo lo que estaba pasando.
The police accompanied him back to his house and then helped both him and his whole family, his wife and his child, leave the town. Not because the police wanted to do that, but just because there were so many witnesses to what had happened.
Pero mi hija, cuando vio que yo fui a cerrar la puerta, se me colgó del pie. Y ella lloraba y me decía que por favor de su casita no me la llevara, que ella su casita la quería mucho, que por favor no le hiciera eso. Pero ella no entendía debido a su inocencia qué era lo que estaba pasando.
Mm-hmm. And so when, as they were closing the door of the house, his daughter kind of grabbed his leg and told her, oh, I don't want to leave, this is our house, I don't want to leave, because she didn't know what was going on.
En ese momento, todo el valor que yo tenía se me quebró. Yo me puse a llorar.
At this moment, when my daughter grabbed my leg, like, I lost all strength and I began to cry.
Por un lado, me quebró el hecho de ver a mi hija en esa forma, pero también la rabia, la impunidad que hay en mi país de parte del Estado.
One reason I began to cry was just seeing my daughter like this, but the other thing that made me cry was anger at the impunity that exists in my country for crimes like this.
Esa misma noche, nuestro local sindical fue saqueado y quemado por el grupo paramilitar.
And the same night, our union office was looted and burned down by these paramilitaries.
7 días después, o sea, el 12 de diciembre, ingresan a la empresa 12 o 13 paramilitares más.
A few days later, 12 more paramilitaries entered into the factory.
Filan todo el personal y le dice, son las 7 de la mañana, a las 4 de la tarde venimos por la carta de renuncia de todo aquel que pertenezca al sindicato.
In the morning they got all the workers together in one place and said, you guys have until 4 o'clock to sign these letters of resignation to the union that we've already prepared.
Dijeron, es la condición para poder seguir trabajando con Coca-Cola y el que no, pues simplemente se muere.
For anybody who doesn't want to sign these letters of resignation to the union, this is the only way you can continue to work at Coca-Cola, and if you don't sign, you're dead.
La misma empresa redacta la carta de renuncia de los trabajadores, los llama a firmar la carta y luego se la entrega a los paramilitares.
And so the company was the one who actually prepared these letters, and the company managers were the ones who spoke to the unionists about getting them to sign, and later they delivered them to the paramilitaries.
Se hicieron las denuncias correspondientes en Colombia, pero allí nuestra denuncias no tuvieron eco en el gobierno colombiano.
After this happened, we sort of made the denouncements to the appropriate prosecutor's offices, attorney general's office, but these denouncements have sort of no echo within the Colombian justice system.
Entonces, debido a esto, empezamos una demanda ante los derechos humanos internacionales, pero también una demanda jurídica aquí en Estados Unidos en contra de Coca-Cola a través de los abogados de los steelworkers.
So what we did was put sort of international lawsuits, including one here in the United States federal courts, with the help of lawyers from the United Steelworkers of America.
También se hicieron 3 audiencias públicas a nivel internacional para que fuera el pueblo el que juzgara Coca-Cola.
And what we also did was organize 3 international public tribunals against Coca-Cola so that the public could also judge the crimes of Coca-Cola.
Entonces, como fui víctima y testigo de lo que pasó en Urabá, me tocaba dar los testimonios a la prensa. y esto me trajo otro problema que fue el ser declarado objetivo militar de los paramilitares en Colombia.
Because I was the eyewitness to this murder that took place in Carepa, I spoke to many of these reporters about my experiences, but this caused another problem for me. Now I personally was declared once again a military objective by the paramilitaries.
Fue una persecución de 4 años en Colombia, donde ya lo último no tuve más dónde correr y venirme en el programa de protección que hay en Estados Unidos para dirigentes sindicales amenazadores de muerte en Colombia.
So for 4 years, I had to run around the country. I was persecuted until it reached a point where there's nowhere left for me to go. So luckily, I was able to participate in this protection program organized by the AFL-CIO Solidarity Center to leave the country.
En una de las audiencias se acordó en la última en Bogotá de luchar en contra de Coca-Cola hasta que reponga los daños causados a las víctimas, hasta que cambie su política en el mundo entero y realizar un boicot mundial contra Coca-Cola a partir del 22 de julio del año pasado.
In the last public tribunal that was organized by the union, which was held in Bogotá, they declared that the struggle against Coca-Cola would continue until sort of there's reparations made, until Coca-Cola recognizes that there's been damage done. And one of the tactics that's going to be used is a boycott against Coca-Cola that started in July 22nd of last year, 2003.
Esto se ha trabajado con los estudiantes, con los sindicatos, con las iglesias y las organizaciones sociales.
For that reason, we've been trying to get the participation of students, of religious communities, and of unions in this campaign.
Debido a todo esto, Coca-Cola ha seguido la presión en contra de los trabajadores en Colombia.
But despite all this pressure, Coca-Cola's pressure against the workers in Colombia has continued.
Ha cerrado 9 plantas en Colombia o 11 plantas. En 4 meses, de noviembre a esta parte, cerró 11 embotelladoras en Colombia.
Since November of last year, 11 bottling plants have been closed.
Hubo en la corte en Medellín una orden para Coca-Cola de reintegrar unos trabajadores a sus puestos de trabajo y de pagarles el sueldo que había dejado de pagarles.
There was a lawsuit that just got ruled on in the for the workers who are in the Medellín bottling plant to sort of relocate them within the plant and pay them for the salary that they were owed during the time they were unjustly fired.
Pero Coca-Cola no escuchó esto tampoco.
But Coca-Cola didn't pay any attention to that.
Entonces, 30 compañeros en Colombia optaron por hacer huelga de hambre al frente de varias embotelladoras en Colombia.
And so what happened was 30 union leaders decided to go on a hunger strike in front of bottling plants in Colombia.
Fue una huelga de 10 días donde los trabajadores quedaron deshidratados y hubo uno de ellos que sufrió un preinfarto.
This was a hunger strike of 10 days where the union people who participated ended up very dehydrated. And one of them actually suffered a heart attack as a result.
Entonces tuvimos que recurrir a la solidaridad internacional para poder obligar a Coca-Cola a cambiar de parecer o al menos sentarse a negociar con el sindicato.
So what we had to do is get the help, you know, a lot of international solidarity to be able to force Coca-Cola to even just sit down at the bargaining table with the union.
Y el apoyo fue tan grande a nivel del mundo entero que hoy se inicia las conversaciones con Coca-Cola.
And this support that we received was so fantastic, was so great, that Coca-Cola is sitting down with the union in Colombia.
Yo lo que quiero pedirles en nombre de todos los compañeros en Colombia, no solamente los trabajadores de Coca-Cola, sino de todos los trabajadores en Colombia, es que ustedes como sindicato tienen mucho poder para podernos ayudar y solidarizarse con nosotros, porque es de la única manera que vamos a poder vencer este problema que hay en Colombia.
So what I say to you on behalf of the workers in Colombia is that you, as American workers and American unions, have a lot of power here. For that reason, we ask you to show your solidarity for our struggle so that we can overcome these great challenges that we face.
Yo estoy seguro de que lo que ustedes hagan por los trabajadores, no solamente en Colombia, sino en el mundo entero, todo el mundo lo vamos a agradecer porque lo que necesitamos es unirnos para poder luchar.
I know that what you do here, not just in solidarity with the Colombian workers, but in solidarity with workers all over the world, is very important and something that will be greatly appreciated in the future, because what we need is to come together even more so we can fight together.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you.
Somebody else without a cloud cover or water on the face. It's somebody else, always somebody else.
You've been listening to Luis Adolfo Cardona, a Coca-Cola worker and union leader in exile in the U.S. from Colombia, South America. As a result of massive international solidarity and pressure, the hunger strike to protest Coca-Cola labor policies in Colombia ended March 27th in a rare victory for the National Food Industry Workers Union, Senatornal. The union suspended the protest when Coke agreed to negotiate about the transfer of 91 union members slated for layoff.
Coca-Cola also agreed that the 30 hunger strikers will receive 2 weeks of paid vacation for physical recuperation and that the company will purchase a national newspaper advertisement discouraging paramilitary reprisals against them. But while negotiations continue, we can be sure that the company will only relent if international pressure is continued and intensified. To find out more about what is happening in Colombia and what you can do to help, go to www.killercoke.org. That's www.killercoke.org.
Somebody else without a cloud cover or water on the face is somebody else. It's always somebody else. Somebody else is always somebody else. Somebody else.
What it's worth. Who owns our children? Who owns our lives? Who decides if we get drunk?
This is a Building Bridges, your Community and Labor Report special, filed for Wake Up Call. I'm Ken Nash.
And I'm Mimi Rosenberg. Restaurant Opportunity Center of New York, ROC New York, a restaurant worker and advocacy group, is battling the Smith & Walensky Restaurant Group, two of whose upscale restaurants in Midtown Manhattan, the Cité Grill and the Park Avenue Café, have been cheating their workers. 16 workers at Cité Grill filed a lawsuit last fall seeking over $200,000 in unpaid overtime wages and the right to have a lunch break. And now another six workers from the Park Avenue Café are about to file another lawsuit for over $100,000 on the same grounds. The company recently asked ROC New York to cancel a demonstration and enter into negotiations. When ROC canceled the demonstration, management canceled the negotiations. So ROC New York came back in force with two simultaneous demonstrations at Cité and the Park Avenue Café in support of the mostly immigrant restaurant workers who have had their time and money stolen by these two restaurants. And Building Bridges reporter Ken Nash went to and reports on both of these protests.
And I'm in a demonstration in front of the Cité restaurant in Midtown, New York. And I'm with Pekat Mandu from ROC New York. And why are we out here?
We're here because 16 of the work inside, they have a lot of overtime that is not paid for some of them for the last 10 years. We're fighting this. If they're working, they have to get paid. And there is a lot of other abuses in the kitchen, and that chef should be like have a limit on how to treat people, because workers are human beings. And this is one example when he owned like 6-7, the biggest restaurant in New York, and manipulation is so easy when like all those restaurants get in one hand.
Who are the workers who aren't being paid overtime? What kind of money do they earn? And what exactly is the dispute over overtime?
The workers that they are in dispute, they are mostly immigrant workers. That exploitation is so easy when you have immigrants. The payment is like up to $200,000. We're going to continue to be here till this worker get their rights paid.
And I understand that it's not just this restaurant, that the owner of this restaurant, I believe his name is Alan Stillman, owns a number of other restaurants, and you have disputes at those restaurants also. So why don't you fill us in about those?
Well, what we're doing this restaurant for the last 6 months, other people from Park Avenue Cafe come to us and said, we've been discriminated here. Also, the salaries and the overtime is not paid there. And two of the workers that they are Muslim, and they were pushed to eat bacon or pork inside the salad while the chef is laughing in this. He thinks like this is, you know, they are Muslim, they don't eat pork, and he's just putting the bacon in the salad and just laughing when people find out that they are eating bacon. And he's really pushing people to the limit, the chef there.
And management, have they heard about this? Have they do anything about this?
Well, the management, they are backing us, each other. You know, the guy said he complained to the management, and the management didn't do anything. Being a Muslim, and after 9/11, you know, people, they think like everybody is guilty. Being a Muslim, they have to, you know, make jokes about you. They have to tell you, like, we have a lot of people like you, why you don't drive in taxis and all those. You know, workers are workers. They need respect inside the restaurants.
So tell us more about Rock New York. It's got a great name, but a lot of people don't know about it.
The Restaurant Opportunity Center starts just after 9/11. I used to work at Windows in the World, the restaurant on the top of the World Trade Center. So I lost 73 of my co-workers, and I'm a survivor of with the 350 that we survived that day. So I believe in fighting and working so hard. There is a lot of abuse going on in the restaurant. And, you know, like what people that used to work at Windows in the World, some of them are making like to $200 a week. And when they die, their family has like nothing. And especially there are some undocumented people that they were working at Windows. And people were scared that they're going to be like taken back to their countries and they're making no money. So I devote myself and with Saru German, which is the co-founder of the organization, to fight for the rights of restaurant workers all over the city.
And tell me just a little bit more about the activities of Rock New York and other areas.
Well, at Rock New York, we believe that workers' rights is one of the things that it's forgetting in this city, where people in this country fight and die for overtime, for 40 hours, for the minimum wage, and people just ignore it. There is a lot of people that work 70 hours with straight payments or with straight wages, and people, they don't believe in human beings are working and they should get paid. Plus, to opening up a restaurant in downtown that 50 of the displaced workers and people from Windows in the World, they're going to be owners, workers inside the restaurant, all the 50 of them. By opening up this restaurant, we want to show the restaurant business, yes, you can do business, you can make money and respect your workers.
And if people want to protest against Alan Silman and his treatment of the workers at CITE,
email us at sarulov@yahoo.com. We need your help. We have a lot of struggle that's going on, and we need your help. The Restaurant Opportunity Center of New York. We are downtown in 99 Hudson Street. You know, this is to all people who work in the restaurant business. If you have problem, please come to us.
Okay, now I'm talking with
Fikak Mamdou.
Thanks so much and good luck.
Thank you very much.
And not content just to have one demonstration on this Friday night, Rock New York is having a similar demonstration across town at the Park Avenue Cafe, which is also owned by Alan Stillman, and in which also he is refusing to pay overtime to many, many workers. And we are at the Park Avenue Cafe, and I'm talking to one of the workers at CITE who have come here to lend support. And what's your name?
My name is Floriberto Hernandez, and I work in La CITE for at least 13 years.
Are you one of the workers that has a suit against CITE?
Yes, I started organizing all the people in CITE, and because of me, people from Park Avenue Cafe, they started hearing about us, and because for me, they got time clock, they got overtime now. But Houston, they never do that, you know? That company never got that kind of things.
So what exactly happened in your individual case with regard to non-payment of overtime?
Because I complained to the Department of Labor, my salary go down. And not only to me, to everybody. I make $8.30 an hour. When I started working there, I make $8.75. And then I get raised 50 cents to $9.25. So to $9.25, I get $8.13 right now. Versus me and other guys, they got $2 short.
So in terms of the Park Avenue Cafe, how many workers here have been cheated?
There are like six, plus a lot of waiters that got fighting for no reason.
And what are the prices at these restaurants?
Here it's too expensive. And La Cité is like $63. La Cité is $63, but here definitely is up. You know, last week, they're supposed to talk to Rock New York because it's the ones that helping us in our lawsuit. There was the 1 week. So they tell us to stop the protesting on both sides, and we want to get everything we were asking. But there was a big lie. They do that only to stop the protesting. That's why we come this Friday to tell them, don't lie to us.
And what's your job over at the CTA?
I don't got, you know, one job. I do everything. I do dishes, I make salads, I do photo, painting, I'm fixing, I do everything there. And I don't get raise, because I ask him for raise.
And how long have you worked there?
13 years.
13 years?
In 13 years, you know how many times I ask him for raise? A lot of times. And every time I ask for my raise, I get an A. Sometimes they say it's too busy, or sometimes it's too slow.
Is it mostly the immigrant workers who are being cheated?
Yes, yes. This is what the ones they get, you know, they got really bad. They get paid, you know, the worst pay is to the immigrant workers.
That's the same situation in the Park Avenue Cafe?
Definitely. Well, in this place, I heard it's worse than us. Here, they work 65 hours a week, and they get paid for 45. That's why we make the lawsuit to the federal court. And I think it's in May when we have to talk to the judge and see what's going on.
You think it's just Alan Stillman who's doing this? Or do you think this is widespread throughout the industry?
I think all the restaurants that come together. And as the way they treat the people and as the way they make money is what I think.
And I'm talking to Roberto Hernandez. Thanks so much. And good luck.
Back in 2 weeks, same time, same place. Park Avenue Cafe, 63rd and Park.
You've been listening to sound from demonstrations in front of the Cité Grill and Park Avenue Cafe, two Midtown restaurants owned by the Smith & Wolinsky Restaurant Group that are facing lawsuits from their workers over unpaid overtime wages. For more information, you can call Rock New York at 212-343-1771. That's 212-343-1771.
This has been a Building Bridges, your Community and Labor Report special.